Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Bill Welsh guides us through the New Testament book of Acts. Now to Pastor Bill.
Hi, this is Pastor Bill, and welcome to our study through the book of Acts. It's been exciting, and today we're all the way up to chapter 25. Well, you've heard the term public enemy number one. It's reserved for the worst of criminals, beyond those that are just a public nuisance. It's for those who are considered truly dangerous, unfit for freedom. Well, you get the clear feeling that Paul's opposers undoubtedly see him as that public enemy number one. This apostle is at the top of their hit list, so he has to be stopped. In fact, they're not satisfied with the fact that Paul's in prison. No, they want him dead, out of commission, no longer passionately pursuing the great commission that Jesus has given him as he gave that commission to the whole church. So let's see what particular plot this posse in pursuit of this apostle has planned against Paul at this point. I hope you like that. I worked very hard on that. Now remember, at the end of chapter 24, we were introduced to Festus. He's the new governor from Rome, headquartered in Caesarea where Paul is in custody. Shortly after his arrival, verse 1 tells us that Festus made a trip to Jerusalem, probably to take a survey of the political situation and to get to know the local religious leaders. Well, while Festus was there, the high priest and other leaders brought their complaints about Paul to him and asked him to send Paul back to Jerusalem so they could deal with him there. But verses 2 to 5 reveals their actual intentions. It was the same old plan, an ambush and an assassination of Paul. Festus is smart enough to tell them, "No, we'll just leave Paul in Caesarea, and you can all follow me back there when I return, and you can present your case there." Verses 6 to 12 cover this latest hearing. After Paul is marched in, then the prosecution opens with the same groundless accusations. Paul responds with the same steady denial of any truth in those accusations, and then Festus, who wants to do a favor for the Jews, like all politicians want to pass favors back and forth, well, he turns to Paul, and he asks Paul if he's willing to make that trip to Jerusalem for the official trial. Paul's response to that request is both wise and strategic, and I believe it was straight from the Lord. And it'll set the course for his next and probably last journey for Jesus. It'll be a long journey. But in verse 11, Paul says he is not opposed to dying if he's guilty of charges that are worthy of death. But he says if there's nothing to their charges against him, he reminds Festus that no one can legally give him over to this angry mob. And then he says those critical words that will determine the direction of the next phase of Paul's life. He says this, "I appeal to Caesar." That means, "Take me to Rome." What a move. It was absolutely brilliant. He will get to stand before Caesar just like Jesus promised him in the early days of his relationship with him. And in the meantime, he gets to present the gospel all along the way to soldiers and guards and sailors and legal counselors and both Jewish and Gentile citizens all over the Roman Empire and out into the islands of the Mediterranean Sea. Well, Festus talks things over with the council and decides to grant Paul his request to stand before Caesar in Rome. But before the trip to Rome begins, Festus has a chat with King Herod Agrippa. Now, you need a little information about this guy. I think it'll be helpful. Herod Agrippa is the last of the Herodian kings. He was the son of the Herod who died suddenly right here in Caesarea, and that story was recorded in Acts chapter 12. Do you remember that? This Herod had been eaten with worms. Well, that was Agrippa's father. Agrippa was also the grandson of Herod the Great, who was actually the builder of this beautiful port city of Caesarea. So this Agrippa and his sister Bernice come to pay a visit to Festus, the new governor. Bernice, by the way, well, she was more than just his sister. Let's just say that Agrippa had a very inappropriate relationship with his sister Bernice, and we'll just leave it at that. So during the visit with Agrippa and Bernice, Festus brings up the Paul story. In verses 14 to 21, he kind of brings them up to speed about the accusations, which were mostly just religious differences, and how Paul has demanded to appeal before Augustus. In verse 22, Agrippa tells Festus, "Oh, I would like to hear from the man myself." So Festus set up the encounter for the next day, and after a colorful parade and a reception for this royal couple, as the auditorium is filled with military and Jewish officials, Festus commands Paul to be brought in. We get to hear Paul's last recorded defense, though honestly, it sounds a lot more like an evangelistic message than a personal defense. Now, we'll get to that message in our next chapter, but I get a kick out of the setup for that message. After Paul is brought in verses 24 to 27, Festus shares his dilemma. Let me highlight his main points. He tells the audience there, he says, "You see this man about whom the whole Jewish people petitioned me, shouting that he ought not to live any longer, but I found that he had done nothing deserving of death, and as he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to go ahead and send him. But I have nothing definite to write to my lord about him. It seems to me unreasonable in sending a prisoner not to indicate the charges against him." You think so? You think so, Festus? Well, I would agree, wouldn't you? So the only thing missing in this case is that nagging little detail, a clear and concrete citation, a particular claim of a serious violation of a Roman law. There are possibly some of Paul's accusers in the hall, but none of them will speak this time, only Paul. And what they're about to hear from this prisoner of the Lord is aimed right at all of their hearts. The focus of this chapter is really the setup for the following chapter, but it shows again how God uses even the Roman Empire to do his will, to protect this major voice until he can spread the gospel into the heart of this world power system. Rome built the ships. Think about it. Rome built the roads upon which the gospel would speed around the Mediterranean Sea. Well, the key verse is verse 11, and it contains those four history-changing words when Paul says, "I appeal to Caesar." Those words form a hinge upon which a mighty door of opportunity opens for Paul. By the way, you ever wonder what Paul did during his time in custody there in Caesarea? 2 years pass while he waits for his verdict. You know, I can't say with certainty, but I think he invested his time preaching. That's what Paul did, preached. But this time he preached with a pen. You know, he'd already written probably 6 letters before this time, 5 of which have survived, and at least 8 more will be written from Rome. But it's entirely possible that Paul may have actually written his most theologically important letter while he was waiting to be transported to Rome, or maybe at least began it there. Which letter am I talking about? The Epistle to the Romans. It would explain why he opens that letter saying, "I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." It sounds to me like he's on his way to Rome. Some say it may have been written in Corinth. We may never know. But knowing Paul, I'm sure he wasted no prison time feeling sorry for himself. And now he is on the way. And yet another venture of faith is beginning to tell the world about their one and only true hope, Jesus Christ, who came and lived and suffered and died and rose again from the dead for our forgiveness. May God bless you as you continue on this journey through the book of Acts. Have a wonderful time studying this chapter. God bless you.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Bill Welsh is the senior pastor of Refuge in Huntington Beach, California. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.